One for mum, one for dad, one for the country.
And there has never been a more exciting time to be in Australia.
Dead, buried, cremated.
Australia's basically done for. We'll just end up being a third-rate economy. You know, a banana republic.
Just follow the money.
So let's explain what this is all about. Follow the Money is going to attempt to explain the economy in plain English. We're going to try and demystify some of the buzzwords and phrases you hear about in the media and busting some economic myths. Basically explaining what the hell is going on in the economy and how it affects ordinary Australians. So episode one is focusing on one of Australia's largest and most controversial industries, mining, and why governments love giving away billions of dollars to keep it going when it could be spending the money elsewhere. Politicians love talking about the mining industry.
Coal is good for humanity. Coal is good for prosperity. Coal is an essential part of our economic future.
That the natural resource wealth of Australia is owned by the Australian people.
The mining tax is now gone.
For years now, the industry's been front and centre of the debate about the health of the Australian economy. It's created enormous amounts of wealth. We're talking about a lot of money here. It's responsible for around 8% of Australia's gross domestic product. It adds about $124 billion a year to the economy, according to the Department of Industry. But here's the thing. Sure, it makes a lot of money, but there are more people working in the arts and recreation industry than those directly employed in the mining industry. So why does it get all this attention?
In the immortal words of the Treasurer Joe Hockey, is the mining industry, is it a lifter or a leaner?
Look, unfortunately, I think in many instances it is a leaner.
That's Richard Dennis. He's now the Chief Economist for the Australia Institute.
Yeah, I grew up in the Hunter Valley. I did work experience in a coal mine. I grew up smelling coal mines and hearing them, and it's always a shock to me to learn that wind turbines are noisy.
So yeah, he's been up close to these enormous things, and if you've ever been to one of these mines, they're massive. The scale of everything is multiplied by 100. There's big trucks the size of dinosaurs, and some of these pits, they stretch for kilometres in each direction. And politicians love going to these places for photo opportunities. And what politicians also like doing is giving a bunch of money to help the mining industry.
Over the last 6 years, Australia Institute research shows that state governments put around $17 billion into the mining and fossil fuel industries.
That's Rod Campbell. He's a research director at the Australia Institute. The figure he's quoting from is from a study last year, calculating exactly how much money is spent to cater for the mining industry. It comes in various forms, especially if the government is keen to get potentially lucrative projects off the ground.
The mining industry is very heavily subsidised in Australia, but the subsidies take a form that most people don't understand, and they don't understand them because politicians try to conceal it from them. So, for example, taxpayers will often build the railway line that connects a mine to a port. They'll build or expand the port. They'll build the energy supply and the water supply that the mine needs to operate. Now, if I wanted to build a hotel in a remote area and said, could someone please build me a road, a railway line, a port, an airport, and my energy supply and my water supply, and if you can build all that, I could run a really profitable hotel. Most people would think, well, that's ridiculous. Why, of all the things we could do with taxpayers' money, why would we help your hotel? Well, that's the question we need to ask about the mining industry.
How many hospitals could we have built for $17 billion? About 17. Schools, the Queensland government recently signed a contract to build 10 schools for $350 million. So, you know, your build costs for a school, you're looking at about $35 million.
So, aside from building roads and rail lines and ports, the federal government also chips in. There's something called the fuel tax credit. It used to be known as the diesel fuel rebate. Now, governments tax fuel. They help pay for the cost of roads and highways, as well as hospitals, teachers, and police officers. But if, for instance, you use diesel fuel to drive a tractor on private property, that extra tax is given back as a refund from the tax office. Now, combined with accelerated depreciation for the value of machinery, and in 2013, it all added up to around $4.5 billion in federal funding for the mining industry. Richard Dennis thinks that's a phenomenal amount of money.
There's almost no public policy problem you couldn't solve with that amount of money. But here we are saying, oh, we're worried about sufficient aged care homes as the population ages. Maybe we should have built more. Oh, there's a queue to get into hospitals. There's not enough hospital beds. Maybe we should have built more. This is not rocket science. This is simple prioritisation.
And this is also assuming that governments even asked for royalties in the first place.
As an example, do either of you know how much you pay for gold in Victoria?
No idea.
No.
It's free. If you can find gold in Victoria, you can have it. You don't need to pay the people of Victoria anything. Now, that's largely because it's all gone in the 1850s gold rushes. But this still costs the Victorian government a couple of million dollars a year if they charged a royalty. There is gold extracted in Victoria and nobody pays a cent for it.
Now, government support for industries, this isn't anything new. Until recently, the manufacturing sector relied heavily on support and protection from imports to remain competitive. Those protections, they've been steadily wound back over the years, with the argument that they employed fewer workers and it wasn't conducive to a free and open market. In fact, the Abbott government promised to cut back on $500 million worth of support to the car industry when it was elected in 2013. So Richard thinks the mining industry doesn't deserve all this special treatment either.
Well, look, the mining industry plays an important role in Australia's economy. It produces raw materials that go into many things produced in Australia and around the world. But it's not a very big employer, and its contribution to our budget is far smaller than people realise. So, for example, the coal mining industry that people have heard so much about, it only employs 1% of Australians. So 99% of Australians don't work in coal mining.
Figures by the Bureau of Statistics show that there's around 228,000 people directly employed by mining at the moment. Retail, by comparison, employed five times more people. So you can understand this is a pretty sensitive topic for the mining giants. Organisations like the Minerals Council of Australia are adamant that taxpayers don't subsidise the industry specifically. It claims it's provided $51 billion in royalties to the states over the same six-year period we were talking about before, and cites the Productivity Commission, which says the amount of government support it receives is negligible. Richard doesn't buy that, though.
Well, that's demonstrably untrue. The Productivity Commission don't consider, for reasons best asked of them, the tens of billions of dollars in roads and ports as subsidies.
One example of these tensions is in the Galilee Basin in central Queensland. You might have heard about it recently. It has the potential to become a major mining area of Australia. We're talking about 27,000 million tonnes of coal in the region. You can understand there's a bit of interest here. So we've got the Carmichael Coal Project. That's worth potentially $14 billion. It's been put forward by this giant Indian company called Adani. The former Newman government in Queensland promised $455 million to help build a rail line connecting it with the Abbott Point Terminal near the Great Barrier Reef. That's another government project that the state is helping to fund. But the whole scheme, potentially, is on shaky ground. We've got numerous legal challenges from green groups. Plus, we've also got the falling price of thermal coal. Here's Rod Campbell.
If there are no subsidies in place, clearly the Galilee Basin won't be going ahead because it hasn't been going ahead. And even though they said they'd be mining by 2012, they still don't have any finance. They haven't built the infrastructure. Banks are not keen to lend to it.
And the Australia Institute says it's just not worth the risk, given its impact on the environment and the taxpayer.
We built coal-fired power stations at a time where most people had little or no access to affordable energy. And in choosing to use coal, we had no idea about the damage that it might do. But we do know about climate change now, and we do know that we can't double the number of coal-fired power stations on the planet. We can't do that. So if we know we can't do that, why are our politicians wanting to double our coal exports? Why are our politicians allowing the expansion of something after we learned that it's harmful?
He's also questioned the rush towards constructing more mines at a time where commodity prices are falling. Now, we were talking before about how big the mining industry is. Rod says that in terms of the size of the companies like BHP and Rio Tinto, they're not exactly struggling.
When it comes to iron ore, and when you're talking iron ore, you're really talking Rio and BHP, we are bigger than OPEC. Australia has a bigger share of the, or is about to have a bigger share of the traded iron ore market than the OPEC oil cartel has of the traded oil market. When it comes to coal, we have a similar or larger share of the traded coal market than Saudi Arabia has of the oil market.
And what we've done in Australia in the last 10 years is literally double our iron ore exports, and we've pushed the price down. Like, OPEC think the way to get rich is to restrict supply and keep the price high. We think the way to get rich is to dig it up as fast as we can and sell it cheap. One of us is completely wrong.
There's also a warning that not enough is being done to plan for the future, especially in areas where the mining industry hasn't been doing so well lately.
Regardless of what happens over the subsidies to the coal industry, there's going to be less people working in it. There's great doubt over the outlook, particularly for thermal coal. So you've got places like Lithgow, which are producing, you know, thermal coal that has a dodgy market outlook. They're a long way from port. They're small, expensive to run mines. Like, the writing's really on the wall there.
The Australia Institute says the $1 trillion worth of resources in the nation needs to be better managed, and for the industry to come clean on the support that it receives from government.
We're told, look, the big kids have got this under control. Well, the big kids have spent billions. The big kids have pushed the iron ore price down. The big kids have said that, you know, Galilee Coal Basin's going to make Queensland rich, and the world finance sector says it's never going to happen. Someone is completely wrong. And I think we just need to open the books and have a nice, cold, hard look at the facts.
And that's Follow the Money. You can follow me on Twitter at Redneck Ninja. Richard Dennis is at RDNS_TAI. Rod Campbell is at R_O_D_C. And the Australia Institute's Twitter handle is at The Oz Institute. For more information about this episode, you can also visit the website at tai.org.au. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.